What up, everyone? This is Nikki Coogs,
Frank,
and Feeney, and we are the Three Amigos.
And this week's topic is on legacy.
Yeah, so if you're a baseball fan or been on social media, you've probably seen that Shohei Ohtani just had one of the craziest games ever in not let alone MLB history, but MLB playoff history, right? He went 3-for-3 with 3 home runs. Right. While pitching 6 scoreless innings,
10 Ks,
striking out 10 people, just literally propelling the Los Angeles Dodgers to the World Series. Like, most people who play baseball don't even put up those stats in Little League,
right,
let alone the biggest stage of baseball, you know? And so one of the ways that people would describe that game is a legacy game, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was so special. You know, it's something that people are going to remember for decades and generations to come and associate him with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a good segue for the topic that we want to talk about tonight, is of legacy and the importance of it.
Yeah, we got two good takeaways tonight in talking about legacy. If you were with us last week, we were in the Psalms and talking about Psalm 66 in verse 6 and at the Red Sea. So last week we talked about steps and stages. This week we're at verse 19 here in Exodus 13, back at the Red Sea. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So we talked first tonight about people coming after you, okay, that your life is not just about you. It's going to affect the people after you. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So there's both punishment for generations after, but also blessing 1,000 generations, it says, for those who love the Lord and keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we do has an impact on people that are coming after us. Science would call that epigenetic modification, right? So we all have the same genes, but there's certain genes that are turned on or off based off of our parents and their parents and their parents before them, their experiences. So we're predisposed to different things and respond differently to different things based on parents' experiences, which is why you can pass things like alcoholism genetically, mm-hmm, right? So we all know that, you know, what we are doing is having a big impact on the people after us, but we also talked about the people before us. Okay, so if you look at 2 Timothy 1 through 5, Paul references this to Timothy, where he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, we see here, in talking about people before, this aspect with Joseph here, where if you look at that, you got 430 years, mm-hmm, right, of the Israelites being in Egypt. Joseph lived to 110, so guessing around 350 years prior to them leaving, Joseph has this prophetic word of God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. Now being brought to fulfillment in this generation. So generation after generation, and now finally being brought to pass with these events, bringing them to this moment that God has placed them in, which we know is not random. Mm-hmm. Acts 17:26 tells you that it's not, you're not at this time, you're not at this place randomly. You are here at this specific place and time for a reason, for a purpose that God has placed you for that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, while what you do is going to have a massive impact on those that follow after you, it's also bringing to fulfillment things that have, you know, people have prayed about and prophesied, in this case, 350 years prior to the actual event.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, just underscoring the your life being about much more than just you.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. It gives you insight into how the Lord works, because there's multiple instances in the Bible where the Lord lists out genealogies and you can trace things back, mm-hmm, right? And I think it is really important to understand that it is more than you. It is beyond you. And that can be a great motivator to make the right decisions, you know, and live faithfully so that, you know, generations can be blessed for years to come. And don't think that, you know, if you're experiencing blessing, it might be because of something that your grandparent either did or prayed over beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it'd be smart for us to take the same mindset and, Lord, help me make the right decisions for my descendants to come, but also, Lord, bless them, have a future for them, bring them near you, predestine them, Lord, for you. You know, having prayers like that and making decisions like that. Epigenetic modification is so real, and there's so much of the Bible that backs it. When you were talking about that tonight, I remember I had a discussion with a family member a year or two ago, and they were talking about something that they struggled with at a certain age. And it was surreal to me. Like, it gave me chills because I didn't know that beforehand, and I struggled with the same thing at the same exact age and had the same exact experience. And it made it so real to me, and it motivated so much that doesn't have to be the circumstance and situation for, you know, Lord willing, lineage from me. You know, the Lord does give us free will, and all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And we do have free will, and our brain is plastic, meaning we can make decisions that change that going forward. And there is hope through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, those are good points. And if you're sitting here and it's like, oh, I don't know if anybody before me was praying for me. I don't know of any, prophetic word over my life before. In Hebrews 11, it talks about, in verse 22, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. All of Hebrews 11 is known as the chapter of just heroes of faith, because it's giving you concrete examples of men and women in the Bible acting on faith, right? Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And as it tells you in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and then it's giving you these examples in throughout Hebrews 11, and as it tells you, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So it's as a believer, it's the verse that always sticks out to me in the Bible, right, where Jesus says, you know, who are my mother and brothers? Mm. You know, he who hears the word of God and obeys it. That's his mother's brother, right? So it's like you are knitted in the family of God, and the examples that you're given here in Hebrews 11, right? These are the great cloud of witnesses around you as a believer, right? These men and women of faith that have set an example for you prior. And it says, therefore, so here's what you should take away from it. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it gives you two things. Let us throw off everything that hinders. It's one. Mm-hmm. And the sin that so easily entangles. And that's interesting because there's a division there. Mm-hmm. It's not saying it's the same thing. It says there's things that hinder. Mm-hmm. And the sin that so easily entangles. So what that's telling you is there's things that can hinder you that are not sin. And then you have the sin that so easily entangles. And you got both these things here that is telling you, therefore, so because of this example, because of those that have gone before you as believers in the faith, this is what your action point should be with it. So everything that hinders, speak to that.
Yeah, things that hinder you, it could be things that aren't exactly sin, but they detract from what race you're supposed to be running, right? They take away from the purpose that the Lord has for you or the goal that you're supposed to be going after, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be something as simple as, you know, the phone or interest or hobbies that, you know, in and of themselves aren't sinful or bad, but they're having an effect on you that take away from what you're supposed to be doing and the goal that you're supposed to be striving after. And the cost of that is what the Lord has for you, right? Because if the Lord selected you for it, he also equipped you for it, right? And so therefore, the only person that could get in the way, because he's determined your steps, would be you with your own free will. So it would be wise of us to do a, what would you call it? Do a accounting, audit. An audit of the things that take your time, money, and energy, and see, okay, is this contributing to what the Lord has mm-hmm. for me, or is it detracting from what the Lord has for me?
Yeah. And I think some of that is understanding, you know, what you are supposed to be. I think it's in my experience, it's easier to fall into things that hinder when you don't know exactly what you're being called to, as you're kind of just, you know, groping in the dark for that. So these things always come back to just the Holy Spirit, right? And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, but in my experience also will convict you of things that hinder. So a real world example of that, at least for me, was just sports betting, right? And that's, you know, here we are in Las Vegas, obviously that's legal, you know, you're not breaking any kind of law with that. And it's not, sin. And that was something that, you know, I don't even know how, but that was something I was exposed to at a young age, not the betting aspect of it, just understanding point spreads and looking at them and so on and so forth. I was in a little picks league, even as a small child. Okay. And then, you know, I'm getting into this at the point of it's just taking a lot of time. You know, if you're going to be good at it, it takes a lot of time, just like anything.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that you can look at something and say, I'm going to be good at that, and think there's not a massive time investment, you just don't know enough about it yet.
Yeah.
Once you find out about it, then you realize that the time and the effort's going to have to go in. So it was a big time thing, and then it was also – if it was running well, you know, I'm feeling great. And then if it was, you know, the so-called right read, wrong play, which happens because it's sports. So it's like you can make the right read on a game, and just because of how the ball's kicking around, the randomness of sport, you still lose that bet, and that would just get me angry. So now I'm losing control of my emotions, and I'm experiencing actual anger over this. And it was just not a good thing. So it was like I was getting, like, you know, weaned off of it. And then it, you know, was just something that it was like, yeah, this is just not something you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, in my stubbornness, that was something that I still was like, well, you know, I'm good at this, so I'm going to keep doing this. And this can be another, you know, however it's rationalized, another stream of income. And it was like, yeah, just it was the just how much time, angst, stress was going in, and then obviously, you know, the anger, right? And then is it was like, okay, clear, like, stop doing this. And it was just, you know, you know, a relief. It was just something that was hindering, mm-hmm. right? And also sometimes circle back to that where it's like, oh, here's a game, and oh, yeah, they would definitely be this side. And it's like, but I've lost that whole, like, oh, I could have made money here with it, you know. So I've been weaned off it. That's the things that hinder. That's an example I'm giving from my life of things that can hinder. But if you're doing an audit of your life, I think you can definitely, you know, if you're listening to Spirit, there's probably some things that just need to go that are not necessarily sin, but just need to go. They're getting in the way of what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And the tough thing could be you might enjoy that thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you enjoyed, you know, looking at the lines and the whole process of it. And it's not like that was necessarily like an evil thing you were doing.
Right.
But the mature mind is like, okay, is it worth it?
Right.
And eventually, you know, the Spirit convicts and you come to the conclusion in agreement with the Spirit that, yeah, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then the second thing here is the sin that so easily entangles. And that's something that is so important to understand, that if you're listening to this, it's because they don't teach you this in Sunday school. And obviously the culture teaches you, you know, that if something feels good, it must be right.
Yeah.
Guess what? Sin often feels good, especially in the moment. And that doesn't mean that that's right. Right. That's, you know, that's Satan putting just something on a tee for you that's going to feel good in that moment and is set up for your ultimate destruction. That's what's going on. And that's why it's so important to understand what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Must deny himself. So here's an extreme example, right? But the example that was said tonight would be, you know, if you went out there and, you know, you injected heroin, you would feel amazing. It'd be the rush of your life. But that's that same event that feels so great in that moment, you might spend the next 40, 50 years trying to shake that free as it takes away everything from you. Your healthy friendships, your money, your house, mm-hmm. and can be a catastrophe in your life. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's an extreme example, right? But that also would apply to all the, you know, sins that we deal with in our life. It's so easily entangled because it feels good, right? Our sin nature is attracted to that. Our sin nature craves it and wants it,
yeah.
right? So that sin can be so easy to get entangled. That's why Psalm 119 tells you, right? Let no sin rule over me. Yeah. We're gonna sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But let no sin rule over me. Where I can't say no to this, where this has gone off the rails, and you know I'm losing this war with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it can be that part where it says easy. It can so easily entangle you. You know, mm-hmm. no one is above that injection. You know, because that could be you, given the right / wrong circumstances. However you look at it, that could be you, and that's why we have to stand on guard. And stand firm,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have that mindset of, you know, not letting it get to that point and being able to judge ourselves to where we can still say no and not letting it get that far. Because ultimately, not only, like you said, it can cost you the next 40, 50 years. It doesn't just cost you that.
Right.
It goes on for generations. There's ripple effects for generations mm-hmm. because of those decisions. Right. So that's the yeah. weight of it.
And you're speaking to it, right? To wrap this up, if you're going to have a legacy, you have to stand. Mm-hmm. You have to stand. And it wraps up here. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the race is marked out for you, right? Romans 8:29. And definitely this is some week we're going to have to go deep on this, right? But it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So those he foreknew, he also predestined. No different than if you know it's going to rain on Thursday, what are you going to bring?
An umbrella.
An umbrella, right? So those he foreknew, he also predestined. So God has placed people around you and circumstances around you to facilitate your faith, right? It's you that can screw it up. So when it comes to your legacy and what God has marked out for you, the race marked out for you, you're the one that can screw it up, right? Because of your free will. And you see it all the time where it's here, it's the call of God on somebody's life, but they're not listening. They're not listening. They see God as just something that, oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds great that, you know, God can hook me up with this. God, I'd like that. But they are far from him. There's no relationship. There's no authenticity there. So there's always an excuse, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. They want all these other things without seeking the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Luke tells you in Luke 9. Verse 62, Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You can say no to men. You can't say no to God, right? I, the Lord, am a jealous God. I'll have no other God before me, right? So when you talk about your legacy, that's only running through the Lord. Right, that race that's been marked out for you, that's through God. You can try that yourself. You're going to only find frustration at the end of it.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're going to run the race marked out for you with perseverance, that's going to come from your relationship with the Lord, that you are walking in lockstep with the Lord. It's not you trying to do your own thing and then pulling God along with it when it's convenient for you.
Yeah.
It's you, because the purposes of God are going to be accomplished. It's whether you're getting on board with what God has.
Mm-hmm. And the word perseverance is mentioned. And I don't think it's fully grasped these days. That's just my opinion. Perseverance means it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be some times where you don't feel like it. And that's fine, right? Again, because it's the Lord that you're in lockstep with. And so it's possible, right? Without these things, without the Lord,
yeah,
it would be impossible.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But praise be to God, we have him with us, right? And so understand it. Even with that, it'll be difficult, but run the race. If you want the legacy, follow through on the perseverance and stand firm, right? It's a weighty topic, and it can be overwhelming because it is easy to get distracted, and it is easy to fall into sin. We're all going to sin, right? Every day. But the Lord's telling us the step is, hey, just seek me. Just seek me.
Yeah.
Put me above. Seek me. One day at a time, just be faithful. I'm laying out the steps. Just take the steps with me. And now this is possible, right? Now you can have victory. You can rewire your brain. Praise God, right? And you'll see the plan that I have for you, the purpose that I have for you fulfilled. And you'll get to experience that with me. And there will be a legacy. It's been thousands of years. And we're still talking about Joseph. It's been thousands of years. We still know the story of the Israelites and the prophecy that was fulfilled that he spoke to hundreds of years before it happened, right? That's the legacy I certainly hope for and we all should strive for. I think it comes down to, like you said, just, you know, let's stay in step with the Spirit, right? And he'll reveal those things.
Yeah. So that's the Monday Night Pod for this week. Talking about legacy, Tyler and Fenske.